Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear! I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matthew, and welcome to another episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
House Meeting! Always a pleasure to get together with the two bloody mates and do the fat. That's what we did just now, and you're going to listen to it soon.
Yes. Thank you, Tom.
It was some nice chewy fat, I'll tell you that much.
It was the perfect amount of fat to chew, I'd say. A lovely chat today. Before we do this, though, I wanted to read this message out to you, because you'll enjoy this, I think. This is a message from a listener called Ben. He got in touch via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. Very exciting to share a name, obviously. Ben says, recently I sent in a beef where I complained that my partner often doesn't finish TV shows. Tom recommended we should play some Dobble and also plan a treasure hunt. So I thought you may be interested to know how wise he actually is. I knew you'd love this. We very often play games, and Dobble is one of the many we own. But the most impressive part is that a few weeks prior to you reading out my beef, I was surprised with a treasure hunt.
No way!
So it's almost as if you knew. I woke up to be surprised with an obstacle course in the living room. One end of a climbing rope was tied around my waist, and the rope had been fed through... Oh, my... So your partner tied a rope around your waist while you slept. Okay.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's it. That's impressive / creepy, but let's keep reading through.
That's great. So I once tried to tie a piece of string around my partner's finger while she was asleep, and I couldn't manage it without her waking up. So that's taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
I needed to know what her ring size was, basically. So she didn't have any rings. So I guess what this person's done is, like, if you wanted to find out
their belt size.
Trouser size was, yeah.
And they don't own any trousers, yeah.
That was my plan. Tie a piece of string round and then slip it off, and then there's the ring. But I couldn't do it. In the end, I had to use a cable tie and do it like a joke. Carry on.
Good though.
That's not bad though.
Yeah, I left it. I found a cable tie and I was like, that would do it. So I left it by where we watch telly. And then while we were watching telly, I was like, oh, the cable tie here. And then I was like, oh, messing around with it. And then I suddenly put it on her finger and tightened it and was like, ah, caught you. And she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh yeah, sorry. Sorry, I was just mucking around. And then I had it.
That's great. And did it work? Did you then take the cable tie to a ring fitters and get it sized? That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's how I ordered the ring, yeah.
That's so good.
So it's a similar technique, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
I admire it.
Yeah. What about when you... Because you're currently trying to fit your partner for a full suit, aren't you? the old inside leg. You haven't got a cable tie big enough.
I'm using my belts for that. Just ticking off each part of the body one by one. I've got a lasso in the kitchen. I'm getting ready to once I've mastered that.
Yes, of course. So a climbing rope was tied around my waist, and the rope had been fed through various obstacles, which meant I had to go over, under and through desks, tables, chairs, etc. to get to the other side of the room. I also had to complete some tasks on the way. Carry my girlfriend, down a bottle of Coors Light, avoid touching the floor. Oh my God. Downing a bottle of Coors Light just after you've woken up.
What is going on?
This is a
Eddie Brew.
Hell of a partner.
I mean, at least it was a light.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The breakfast beer. When I reached the other side of the room, there was an envelope stuck to the door frame that I had to get down by throwing balls at it. In the envelope was a clue, and that's when the treasure hunt began. Whoa. It started in our flat, but after a couple of clues, it led to the nearby lake. Under a picnic table, I found a treasure map that had been nailed underneath, and I had to use this to navigate through the woods. At the end of the treasure hunt, I found some firewood and wine that my girlfriend had hidden the day before. So we made a fire, ate some food that my girlfriend had prepared, drank some wine, and then she proposed to me. Needless to say, I accepted. I feel incredibly lucky that I've met the person at the perfect time. We bubbled together after only a month and a half of dating, but that has meant that lockdown for us was an incredibly happy period. Hashtag lovely in lockdown. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Ben. Well, Ben.
Congratulations, wow, Ben.
Huge. That's congratulations. Amazing. And I'd like to think that we played a small part in that, even though we didn't.
Yeah.
In any way.
It's a great way to feel, though, isn't it?
It's a great way to feel. And that's
it's
how...
It's a privilege for me to have brought you two together.
Exactly.
That's how weird that you tried the same thing and it was for a ring as well.
Yeah. I mean, not... Yeah, I mean, not quite. Tom's was just putting a cable tie around a finger, and then, you know.
Mine was as romantic, right?
Oh, yeah, it was very romantic, actually. I actually thought yours was more romantic. Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
Much more. Well, let's get into the episode. We started by talking about something, changed our mind, but then luckily, Clarkie had a story.
My defence, I knew it was going to be a false start.
No, you started by saying, we can't talk about this.
I didn't think it was going to get in.
But it's made it in. It's made it in, mate. Nothing gets thrown away. Welcome to the podcast.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I don't even know if this is something for the pod, but I had a thought the other day. It's fine.
Uh-oh. Go on.
It's kind of ground we've covered before recently, I'm sure. But my wife and I were putting our daughter to bed, and she's really got a thing for robots. She's kind of like, obviously, my feelings about technology. It's kind of like her favourite book. You know, there's books about like lambs and bears and snowmen, and there's one about robots, and she's robots every time. And then there happens to be robots on her lampshade in her room from the previous owner of the house, and so she can't go to sleep unless we've held her up and she touches all the robots.
The previous owner was T2, wasn't it?
It was Jeff Bezos, actually. I've done very well. Once you buy outside of London, you can get a lot more back for your buck, okay? but anyway, so like I said, she might grow up to be a robot. Computer scientist.
Oh, yes.
But my wife's thought was, maybe she will, you know, date a robot. And I was like, that you could see, like, you go in 20 years' time. And
hold
I was saying,
on.
Like, imagine
I
if like
she was going to be like Sarah Connor, not dating them.
No, like, you know, like, because by that point, but AI will be like an option. So
I like
it's
the
like,
fact that your wife, you go, oh, maybe this is going to be a job for her. And your wife goes, no, she'll just marry into it. She'll be a kept woman because her drone husband will be working, you know, 24 hours a day.
And he don't off, go on.
The scene I kind of immediately had in my head was like, rather than coming out as gay, it'd be like, I'm G-A-I. And it's like, you come home and be like, this is my partner, they're actually AI. And it's like, you have like, and there's like a, you know, as parents, we're going to have to try and be cool with that. Because, you know, it's something that we can't get our heads around, but the kids are embracing. Because it's like, my daughter's G-A-I.
This is the life of the parent. You imagine scenarios that don't exist to worry about.
Yeah. But it's
new,
like
new scenarios of you being out of touch about the idea of your not yet 1 year old daughter.
Yeah, wanting to dating, take a dating a calculator to the prom or something. I can see that. I don't think we're that far away from it being like this is Al Void. He's a RoboCore or some shit. I don't know. I'm not ready for it. Basically,
Al Void.
Yeah, that's right. Al Void the RoboCore. He's going to the prom, and I've got to be cool with that and hope that he doesn't get like
Al
some
Void
kind of
the
fucking
computer chips.
But you know, it's just like I don't think we're quite ready for that next step, but it's going to happen, isn't it? Anyway,
Al Void,
I don't
Sim One and
yes, Clarky, you did such a good thing there with your Al Void and the chipmunks joke. You shouldn't have gone back to it, man.
No.
Parry had moved on. We were all happy.
We were, weren't we? It's happier times.
It was a simpler time. Mm. Anyway, what's going on?
Anyway, that's not for the podcast. Is that what you're saying?
Thank goodness. Let's move away.
Yeah, I mean, well, not only because I think we've covered technology quite a lot, haven't we? This kind of like fear of the robots taking over and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we it's quite well trod territory, but it's just more of
not
the same
just
fear,
by us,
really.
If we're honest.
Yeah.
I feel like we're at the forefront of that.
Oh,
movement.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're with a definitive. I tell you what I did the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never done before. I dropped an
what,
egg.
What, dross? Oh, sorry. You laid an egg.
I dropped an egg. You drop an egg.
Hang on. That's your first dropped egg in your life.
Yeah, I swear to God.
I am very impressed.
Have you dropped an egg, though?
Of course I've dropped an egg, yeah.
By the way, it does sound like what someone would say if you're asking if someone's farted.
Have you dropped an egg?
Barry, have you dropped an egg? But yeah,
that's the first egg you've dropped in your life. I can't, like,
I can remember.
Yeah.
Oh God,
I cannot believe you've gone. I think I'm of the opinion that you haven't done enough with eggs. Then,
yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
If you're getting to 40 and you've never dropped an egg before, then you haven't lived enough with eggs to 40.
Are you talking?
I don't think
it's how
you're skilled with eggs.
Do you think
Sorry.
It's the first time that you've... So you're talking about the first time you've dropped an egg to the ground rather than, like, dropped it onto a counter and it smashed? Or is this the first time you've smashed an egg?
I think smashed.
What? This feels... Right, let's take it back to the concrete streets here. Egg and spoon race. Did you ever do an egg and spoon race?
Okay.
I've been at house parties with you where we've been breaking eggs, but now that
yeah,
I think about it, they were at your house and I
house.
Was throwing them.
Yeah. You were throwing them into a microwave to then...
You've
explode.
Seen me. You've seen me break eggs. That doesn't count.
Break them, Eddie.
That
I've seen
count.
You break so many and never an omelette.
Eggs. I was at a crossroads there of immediately calling bullshit or trying to be impressed and support you that it's the truth.
You did a bit of
but
both.
Even,
you did a bit of both, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I tried to be supportive and be like, well done, mate, that's amazing. But even then, it's like, if that is true, I kind of pity you for the life you haven't lived because that's 40 years of not breaking eggs, you know
well,
what I
mean? When was the last time you dropped an egg?
Do
you think
I dropped...
it's something you've done a lot?
Yeah.
Well, what you've got to bear in mind is that Parry was a... He'll just let that hang in the air for a second.
That was quite a powerful moment.
It was a real Day-Lewis moment there, yeah. That scene in There Will Be Blood where he drops an egg and he goes, oi, did you drop that egg?
In
fair
lockdown,
weather.
In lockdown.
Goes, yeah. It was, in fact, now I think about it, it's only on the Criterion version because they took it out of the main film because it was shit.
Day-Lewis drops an egg. Day-Lewis drops an egg in all of his roles. It's how he kind of works out his character. He's like, how would they drop? How would they drop an egg?
He comes onto set on the first day and he drops an egg just to show he's in control, and then he cleans it up himself just to show he's part of the team.
Hang
on, he'd never throw out a job that he wasn't prepared to do himself. He doesn't make somebody else.
What's that about? What does Day-Lewis do on the first day of set and then clean up stuff? Does he do that with other things?
No.
Sorry. I thought that was something I didn't know. That was
No, something that no one knows. Well, I think on the first day of set, he arrives in character, doesn't he? That's what we know.
What does Day-Lewis do now that he's retired, right? What's Day-Lewis's days like? What's Day-Lewis up to?
Get up, because drop an egg.
Well, no, his egg dropping days are behind him.
He'll have good luck.
he's trying to work out. By the way, we're going to come back and find out the circumstances of your first ever egg drop. Alleged first ever egg drop.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
be supportive, Tom. Your first ever egg drop. But yeah, what does Day-Lewis do now? Potter around, go to the shops.
Well, here's the thing, isn't it? You know, when people take early retirement, they often find themselves at a loose end, don't they? And they often end up going and doing things that are kind of quite similar to their job or starting a new job. But it's tricky with Day-Lewis because he could be anywhere. You know, he's such a method actor. He could be working down co-op and no one would know. He'd inhabit the role.
But he's retired he's retired from that, hasn't he?
He's retired from making films and doing plays, but you can't retire from your own personality. You can't retire from the training, can you? Stuff. You can't retire from the years of getting into, you know, like he gets into his flat, right? On the I'm assuming he lives in a flat. He gets into his flat on the last day of shooting the Phantom Thread, wherever his final film was. And
looks up at the robot lampshade.
Got to change that. And he goes, well, hang on a sec, Daniel. Who are you? Who am I? He's never spent any time with himself. He immediately panics and throws himself into another role, and the other role is, you know, working as a mobile DJ, something like that. That he can completely inhabit the character.
No, I think he's got to be like, when he's not being other people, he's got to have a neutral setting. He's not a husk.
No.
He's not a husk of a man, is he?
No, he is a portmanteau personality of the role he's just finishing, which he's shedding like a reptile skin, and the new personality that he's trying on.
So when he's in between jobs, he's just like on the floor of his house in a fetal position, like a maggot or like a larvae, right? Waiting to take form.
There's a lot of power in the phrase, so what you're trying to tell me, Tom. There's a lot of... He's walking around with a sort of split personality. He's getting rid of one personality. When I said like a reptile skin, I didn't mean physically shedding a personality. I'm talking about... So he's walking around... I've heard actors talk about this before, where they say they have this character that they've been living as for a while, and it takes...
That was very personal.
You know, the character you're living with is your daughter's robot.
After playing Tom in Bad Adults.
He's never quite shook it. But they're walking around with this personality, this character that they can't quite shift, right? So they're walking around trying to get rid of that. But, of course, Day-Lewis, you know, he was doing back-to-back big projects. So he would obviously start doing the necessary background reading to become Abraham Lincoln. So, you know, he's...
But what about his wife?
Well, that's...
Who did she marry?
This is it. She caught him at a good time.
She got him a good time.
Yeah, she married him. Actually, did you see the movie he was in where he played the cool guy at a high school and he would rock up with sunglasses on and high five an orangutan and all that kind of stuff? It was an 80s movie. It was a weird choice to do immediately after My Left Foot, but that was the movie he did. And she caught him just at that moment when he was living as that cool guy.
Ape in a Boat. Was he the lead in Ape in a Boat?
He played Rex P. God. Cool Dude in Ape in a Boat.
He's unrecognisable.
He's unrecognisable. Yeah. He had a big quiff. He had mirrored shades. Yeah. You know, yep. He had that spoilers on the back of his of his car.
That film's got one of Clarkie's favourite ever movie scenes in it, hasn't it, Clarkie?
Oh, I've not seen it. What?
This is where we've always fallen down in our career, is people always assumed that because we did sketch comedy, we'd be good at impro. But it actually turns out that it was never our bag.
I feel like in impro, you do at least have to warn the person you're improvising with that some impro is about to take place.
An improviser would have been all over that. We'd have been in the scene.
What were you teeing me up for?
To describe a scene from Ape in a Boat.
Oh, is Ape in a Boat not a real film?
Here we go, you see. Now, this is...
Guys, that was good impro. I'd kind of zoned out because I was like, I don't know this film at all.
You'd gone back onto your phone for a bit. That's what you'd done. You were like, oh, great, I'll be back on my phone for a little bit. And then suddenly, some wicked impro was thrown your way. Yeah. And you didn't know which way was up. Which was the sequel to Ape in a Boat, wasn't it?
Which ape is up? That was about an ape who tied a load of balloons to their house and floated away. But we should get into this now. We should get into this situation of what happened in Clarkie's, I'm assuming, kitchen.
It was my kitchen.
Okay, but, so I thought it might be...
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate because I suppose most egg drops happen in the kitchens, and they normally, I can't imagine if it had gone onto a carpet, that would have been a nightmare.
I've just thought of something, Clarkie.
Go on.
Did you ever do the experiment at school where you had to, it was like a science experiment where you had to drop an egg and you had to try and build something. I think actually it might have been a design lesson we did. We had to build something to protect the egg.
Yeah. I know of it, but we never did it, no.
That was, yeah.
There is no way at my school they would have handed us eggs.
I won that competition.
Did you?
Yeah, but through nefarious means.
Oh, did you boil the egg?
Did you put it in your shoe?
I put the egg in my pocket and I jumped off the roof of the school myself. So they were so concerned about the fact I'd broken all of my legs, they didn't bother to check
all
the bucket.
All of your legs?
All of my legs, yeah. My two main legs and my third leg. That was the one I was most... Ooh. Yeah.
You inspired the character of Sanka in Cool Runnings, didn't you? That's a lovely reference for those people who were just, Clarkie, Cool Runnings is a real film. Just before you zone out, stay with us. It's a real film.
It's a real movie.
How did you win?
So, basically, my original method was to build a sort of tube for the egg to sit in, and then some sort of like cross hatching bits of cardboard underneath. Right?
Oh yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't know what my thinking was, but basically, I was just building it like a big floor to hit. Before it hit the actual floor, you know, like, or like as it hit the actual floor. I wasn't really,
I'm imagining, I know we've covered this before, but kind of like a rain stick type.
What, so a tube that went from where you were dropping the egg all the way to the ground?
No, flaps
along the way to break it.
No.
You're hired.
Like labyrinth.
So basically, I'd made like a kind of grid system of intersecting bits of cardboard. That I put at the bottom of the tube, right? So at the bottom of the tube, it looked like a sort of, almost like a kind of, looked like a kind of, like a bit of honeycomb in there. It was a bit like that, except there were squares. Like that, inside what looked a bit like a toilet tube. It was about the same size as a toilet tube. And I would have dropped it down, but it would have just smashed, right? It wouldn't have worked. But, and you only had, like, I think you had a piece of A3 paper. So quite a lot of paper left over. And my friend Paul, I'd already seen his design, and he wasn't in on the day it happened, although I'd seen his design. And his design was to put all the rest of the paper, so basically a bit bigger than A4, on the bottom of the tube, and then just drop it down. It kind of floated down. It meant that it actually, it was nothing to do with the impact. It was to do with the journey. So,
good lesson for life.
It is, yeah,
absolutely, yeah. And so I basically, he wasn't in. I nicked his design, and I won a fiver.
Had you killed him the night before?
I had actually. I'd fed him some poisoned mushrooms, Phantom Thread style. Nursed him back to health, and that was a window on a
piece of A4 paper,
and then made him breakfast. couple of fried eggs, Paul. They're intact.
But yeah, I do feel bad about that. But you know, in the grand scheme of, I think myself and Paul being mean to each other, it was by no means the worst thing either of us did.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How bad did it get?
Oh, you know, like, you know how it is when you're 14 and sort of your friendship is kind of based on just you kind of sort of being incredibly mean to each other. That was all it was.
Constant that in the past, eh?
Constant.
Those well, kind of I mean, friendships.
I mean, I think now it's more verbal rather than like the sort of dead leg, dead arm based shenanigans that Paul and I got up to.
You think it's verbal now, you fucking twat?
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah,
still hurts.
You're
still
right,
hurts.
Man.
Still, yeah. Still hurts, man. Yeah. Quite hard to deal with.
Yeah, sticks and stones may break my eggs, but names will never hurt me.
House bleating.
Goat impressions. Let's hear your bleating.
House bleating.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So, Clark, are you in the kitchen with this egg?
I was in the kitchen with an egg, and I just fumbled it, took it out, slipped, juggled a little bit between the hands.
wait.
Hang on. So you slipped first?
No, the egg from my hand. I didn't slip, like, from my legs. I just kind of fumbled it.
But I'm picturing this fumbling, like, that seems almost cartoonish.
Throwing
it from one hand to the other. Almost like, you know, somebody's thrown you like something incredibly hot and you're like, you can't quite.
Yeah, I should add as well, I'd taken all six out simultaneously, so I was juggling on a lot of them. And I did pretty well considering.
And were they hot? Had you boiled them?
They were not hot. It was a cold egg. No, it was a room temperature egg.
Oh, of course. This is the thing, isn't it? Where'd you keep your eggs? Do you keep
How
them in the fridge?
You asked me. That's bloody
sorry,
hell,
Clarky. I'm sorry. Do you know what? Honestly. I'm lashing out because Tom called me a twat, and I'm taking it out on you. It's not fair.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was bloody right.
Yeah. Where'd you keep your eggs, you fucking twat?
You fucking piece.
So you got what? A single room temp egg in your hand. You weren't two at the same time. You weren't like getting cocky.
Single one. I think I just moved a bit too quick with it in my hand. Didn't quite have it in my grip. And it fell out. I tried to catch it with my other hand. It hit that hand and then just fell to the floor.
Yeah.
And it broke, but in such a way, there was only a small hole on the underside of it, but just the egg came out perfectly onto the floor.
So you
fried
had like
styly.
It's right. Quite hot. It's been quite hot recently as well.
It's been very hot.
And of course, we know you got underfloor heating.
I do actually.
Oh, you missed an absolute trick. Crank up the underfloor heating.
I didn't miss a trick. It's still going. It's just it's on its second week and it's just starting to get.
You know how Clarky enjoys a creme brulee. He got the little blowtorch out as well, just to give it a bit on the top.
So a yolk didn't break. But then, right, and I'd like your advice on this.
3 seconds.
I fucked up the cleanup real bad. How would you have dealt with that? You have a perfect, kind of like in a fried egg style blob on the floor, this egg. How would you go about cleaning it
up? The first thing
I'm
getting is some sort of flipper or spatula. That's the first thing I'd be doing, because if you've got most of an egg, I'd get a flat with no holes in flipper, and try and get as much of it up into like a big bowl, a big aperture. Get into frying pan, exactly. Yeah,
get into the frying pan.
Still good, man. Still
three
good.
3 seconds, man. If the yolk's intact,
35 seconds, I reckon.
Hey, were you cooking it? Aren't you going to cook it fine? Or even a spoon? Get a large spoon and whoosh, up it goes. Not a slotted spoon, obviously.
Not a slotted spoon, no.
Scoop?
Yeah.
Scoop mentality?
I'm ashamed to say, guys.
What did you do? What was your method?
I got kitchen roll out.
You stamped on it.
I might as well have done.
You headbutted it 30 times.
You poured some red wine on it to stop it staying in the car.
First things first.
I feel like there could have... The other thing you could have done is got a bit of bread out. Eggy bread.
Oh,
How clean are your floors? You know what my mum said happened to her the other day? She was looking after one of her...
Are you sure we don't want to hear how clean Clarky's floors are first?
Well, it's kind of pertinent to that, but in a way...
Okay, here we go.
She was taking one of the grandkids to school, and they dropped something in a puddle, and they went down and started to try and pick something up and tried to drink from the puddle. And mom kind of grabbed them and was like, don't do that. And a woman nearby in her car wound down her window and said,
what?
don't stop. This is the story. Don't stop your child from drinking from a puddle. It's good for them. I'm a scientist. I'm a child scientist. And
I'm a mobile child scientist. It was Day Lewis, wasn't it? I got it all wrong with the mobile disco.
It was a drive-by child scientist saying, drink from the puddle, and then off they went.
Mate.
My mom was like, you know, there you go.
If this hadn't come from your mom, I would be like, this is 100% a made up story.
Yeah, tell me about it. So maybe either my mom's kind of got to that stage where she's just like, off we go, do lally tap. She's seeing
she's been drinking for a few too many puddles, hasn't she?
but this scientist is driving round outside primary schools telling kids to drink from puddles, and all praise to them because it's good for them, you know, to get that. Why we're getting iller as a society is because we're not doing enough, you know, mud in the garb, drinking from puddles, eggs off floors.
It stands you in good stead. I like the idea that it's just like somebody who wants to fuck with people and that's their weird method. They like drive past a park and go, oi mate, see that dog shit? Where's the hat? Anyway, bye. No, it's all right. I'm a scientist. Yeah, yeah. Dog shit hat. Yeah, yeah. It's actually good for you. It's good for your hair.
Climb over those iron railings. I'm a scientist. Bye. But anyway, mobile child scientist says drink from puddles, and I think there's
not a bad headline in the Express and Star.
I mean, there's something in it, and B, I think what it means is, Clarky, a bit of bread, bish bash bosh. You make good eggy bread. We know that.
Yeah.
We know it's one of your traditional dishes.
Thank you.
Save that egg. Have you not seen like any of those, you know, killer films where they all just like sup from a raw egg because it's kind of ready to go? You could have just got out a straw, just like, and off you go.
Clark is now incredibly nervous to talk about any movie that you suggest to him. You remember that killer movie where...
Yeah, man. I remember the killer movie. And he had a, it was ooh, called Dr. Straw, and he went around and he'd kill people and then drink up the leftovers.
It's funny you should say that, Ben, because that's one of Matthew's favourite films, and the last line of that film, Matthew, is...
Oh, pardon me.
Oh, cross me. Did you just drop an egg?
There you go. None of that was written, guys. None of that was written.
That's what the killer says at the end. The killer drops an egg and says, oh, pardon me.
And the judge says, you're not pardoned. You've killed people. You can't pardon yourself.
You're literally called killer.
You shouldn't have represented. You know, there was a guy at our school whose nickname was Killer. It's a bad nickname, isn't it?
Killer's great nickname. What are you talking about?
Killer. He was just called Killer. That's what we called him.
What was the story behind his nickname? Was
he? His name was Simon Keeling, and he made a gun in CDT, or like a wooden gun. not like a real gun.
He won a fiver as well, didn't he, in that competition?
Shot an egg.
Yeah.
he made like a wooden shape of a gun or something, and so we called him Killer.
That is like the most PG version of that nickname possible. Absolutely unbelievable. You get such a hardcore nickname.
Be like, were you hoping hell, what's this guy done? Someone?
I'm not hoping, I'm just saying. you get a nickname like that, you don't expect it to be because he made a gun out of wood.
Wood. Well, in the line of fire, gun. You know, we all know Malkovich in the line of fire, he had a wooden gun, didn't he? And he
had a plastic gun, Tom.
Oh, that's a real film.
This is where Tom falls apart. Films he hasn't made up himself. It's a bit like his mum and anecdotes.
So anyway, but yeah, there's something in it, I think. Drinking from puddles, a little bit, taking the edge off the hygiene is actually for the best.
You know what? I agree with you. And if you'd asked me that, say, 10 years ago, I would have said absolutely not. But actually, I've done a complete 180 on
puddle drinking.
On puddle drinking, yeah.
Oh,
literally in the last 3 minutes.
Start puddle pod.
I think there's, I mean, well, obviously you see it with little kids, like they stick everything in their mouth and it helps them build up their immunity. And yeah, kids do want to drink out of puddles. They want to splash in puddles. They want to stick their hands in puddles. They love puddles. Puddles. They're into puddles. But I think I used to be very kind of grossed out by, you know, other. It's a weird thing to talk about in the middle of a pandemic, because obviously we're now back into that stage of kind of being grossed out by who's touched this door handle, you know, is this surface clean, all that kind of stuff. But I'd say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I remember seeing an article about, you know, oh, they analysed the ice in a McDonald's and it all had like traces of faeces in. And I was like, yeah, that's, I sort of like something went off my head and went, yeah, it's probably fine, isn't it?
I mean, there's traces of feces all over my fucking fingers, mate, and I stick them everywhere.
Yeah. And they, you know, every now and then they talk about like how gross it is to have a beard because of all the sort of stuff you keep in a beard.
All the feces you keep in your beard.
No, Tom, you honestly, it's true.
Because it's feces, isn't it?
I mean, famously, my mum was taking one of her grandchildren to school the other day, and this kid this car pulled up, and this guy went down the window and said, "Why hasn't that kid got a beard? I'm a scientist," and he drove off, and he was like this child hairdresser scientist.
I'm a scientist, this is clumsy. He didn't even go back to qualify it.
And it's like kids, you know, give your kid a beard for fuck's sake, and then off he went.
Absolutely.
Never saw him again. Daniel Day-Lewis turns out best supporting actor.
I'm going to start saying I'm a scientist instead of goodbye.
Cheers, everyone. I'm a scientist.
Anyway, I use 3 sheets of kitchen towel to clean it up. I'm a scientist.
Oh, Tom, if only it was 3 sheets of kitchen towel.
Oh, no.
But you know what, Tom? That is actually good. That's good advice. Clarkie, I think you're onto something there. If you say, oh, I dropped an egg in my kitchen,
I'm a scientist.
Immediately you go from thinking, well, that guy's a cretin, to, oh, that guy must have been working on something really important. Dropping eggs to work, you know. Look at egg velocity. This is, it gets you out of a lot of sort of sticky situations. to say I'm a scientist.
Well, I tell you that if you use kitchen roll, you're getting yourself into a sticky situation.
So go on, how much of a kitchen roll did you have to use? And then, of course, it's going to be kitchen roll, and then you're back to like a sponge and soapy water and all that kind of stuff.
Wiping the area, but I thought I'd be able to kind of like, it would soak up a lot of the egg white, and then I'd be able to like cradle up the yolk. But no, the yolk broke, and it just went soppy. It went everywhere. I had to go at it about 4 times. With more and more kitchen roll, and then cleaning the area with a cloth, and then thinking it was done, and then coming back and seeing the still
the glisten, you can still the glisten, the yeah, glisten. Yeah,
exactly. You know the glisten of the yolk.
What were you making, and did you carry on making it, or was that just?
I was making egg fried rice.
You see, that's again. You could have just scooped that. You know, it doesn't matter how sloppy it is. You could have just scooped it straight up and straight in the pan.
Yeah.
Yeah. The amount of shit that's already on that rice, I'm telling you. They put a rice under a microscope the other day, and it had a beard. Said feces. Not my words. The words of a man in a car on my mum's school route. So, you know. It's all fair game, isn't it? In some countries, they eat off the floor.
I don't know if that's... Go on, Tom. Tom?
I think... I don't...
Are you thinking of the Lady and the Tramp?
Even they're sat at a table.
That's true, actually. They're doing it on off a plate.
No, I think they are, actually. So
what? Are you thinking of the time we went to that Japanese restaurant in Crystal Palace and they had quite low tables?
That's close. Anyway, it's pretty close.
Eating off the floor is. Are you talking about like having a picnic, or are you talking about they literally make dinner, they make a bolognese, and they put it on the floor, and then they stick their face in it and just start munching, like a naughty dog,
straight into a puddle. Mm.
What are you saying there, Tom?
It's a bold claim, isn't it? It's a bold claim, but I reckon there's people out there, if they consult the Lonely Planet, they'll probably prove me right.
Lonely Planet. The Lonely Planet recommends places to eat. I've never opened up the Lonely Planet and go, while you're in Dubrovnik, make sure to eat off the floor, you filthy cunt.
Well, it just says at the bottom, this article was written by a scientist, so I guess might as well give it a go. They've got a picture of him in his car.
Oh my god!
Anyway. I was once out drunk, and we had a challenge on the way home of like, it started with like lick the brick, I think, and it was like lick the brick, and then it was like drink from a puddle, and it was like, you know, it was like everyone just was trying to outdo each other with the challenge of what to do, and like lick an exhaust pipe, and then eat a flower. I think it finished with
eat a flower. That's fine.
I freak out about those kind of things. Flowers. My daughter had a bit of sunflower leaf the other day, and I was having kittens about it, but it turns out it's encouraged. Again, I don't want to go back to the scientists, but like, I felt like a real square. I was like. I think it's because of Shakespeare, I do. It's all that, like, apothecary chat.
Of course. It's, you know, the reason you're such a thicko is because of Shakespeare. Of course it is. Of course.
I think it's because I'm too well-read with the bard,
so
to be honest.
So bloody cultured.
Look, my brain immediately leapt to Hemlock, you know, which is my favourite character in Merchant of Venice.
Thing is, Tom, is at no point does anybody, you know, Romeo and Juliet don't eat a sunflower. Do they?
Well, certainly a derivative thereof, you know. Well, what's Apothecary been doing? He hasn't gone to fucking Boots, has he? He's got a garden. He's got pestle and mortar and some sunflower, and it's all plants, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. Some plants are poisonous. You know what? Some plants are poisonous. I'll give you that. And it can be a bit scary. The other day, Cleo. Picked up a mushroom from the place, the garden of the place we were staying, and that's always, you just don't know with that, do you? could, well, you know,
give it to me. Was there first, anyone? Man.
Was there anyone in the car outside? Did you run into the street? Beep, beep. Next time that happens, run into the street, just start tapping on windows and see if that, because there could be a scientist in traffic.
Yeah, what you really need is some sort of like conch horn you can blow for the drive-by scientist to come past and go.
I'm a toxicologist. You're fine.
But what about the mushroom?
So anyway, Clarky, you got it up. Has there been a lingering smell?
He dropped an egg, but still managed to get it up.
I tell you what, I haven't got it up like that in years.
And it turns out that's his thing.
Dropping eggs.
It took him to the age of 40 to realise that what he was really into was dropping eggs. did you deal with the lingering smell? That's what always happens with an egg drop.
Thankfully I did not, but I did clean the offending area very thoroughly.
At least it gave you something to do with your day, I guess, didn't it? This whole
it did, yeah.
This whole experience.
And it, couple and it of gave hours. Me probably my best ever anecdote.
Actually, this has been a pretty good, this has been a pretty fine episode of House Meeting. And we owe it all to you. After let's admit,
you're welcome,
the full start of the robot chat. It was very, you know, you came in strong.
Came in strong like a strong tech, I was gonna say.
Well,
that's not good enough, is it?
We came in strong, we went out weekly. Which our podcast does.
Every Tuesday.
I'm a scientist.
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Well, there you go. What a treat. Lovely chat.
Well, lovely friends.
Yeah, that's how, you know, I enjoyed it, and I think hopefully the listener dear did too.
Yes, absolutely.
If you enjoy these kind of things, then we've got a Patreon where we put out loads more content. You can get all of Pappy's Flatshare Lockdown, which is a separate thing that we do. There's hundreds of episodes of that you'll get immediately once you join the Patreon. You also get lots of things like the jingle as a single. You get bonus beefs. I think something like 3 or 4 days a week you get a bit of content, so it's good value for money. So go along to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare and all our details will be there.
Tom, you did it.
You did great, man.
I can sense that maybe 10 seconds into that you started to panic and you went, am I doing some actual proper admin promo? But you know what? I think this is going to be the making of the Patreon. I think all of the parry heads, all the true parry fanatics, they're going to be joining that £4 and above tier because they want more of that kind of stuff.
It's a quid a week.
Is less than that some months. This month.
For near constant companionship in your ear canal.
It's lovely.
That's what we're offering you.
It's great.
What we're offering you.
If you got beefs, send them to beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. If you've got any correspondence, if you want to tell us whether or not you think it's safe to drink from a puddle, if you want to tell us about your own proposals, if you want to tell us about the time you've measured your partner while they've slept, if you want to tell us about times you've dropped an egg, all of these things will be gratefully received at pappysflatshare@gmail.com. What else is there to say, really?
Well, today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
We could say that.
Corsham team. Cheers, everyone.
I'm a scientist. Hey.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.